The Valley Current.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Jack?
Extra security that they just put in without even telling you that they're doing it. How's that for?
Well, it could be based on what happened on Monday. Everybody's getting a little paranoid.
We're in a new world now because I have to tell you, Zoom used to be really easy to use, and I think it still is. But they put in some new security where you have to give two passwords, not just one, and it's not even the typical, two-factor authentication, TFA, where they text back to you. It's just that you have to do another password, and I have to make sure people know that that's the case. But I guess that's probably smart because we're living in a world where people can eavesdrop, right?
I was working on a transfer in my bank account, and they gave you two pictures saying how many rocks are in this first picture, right. And you have to scroll through in order to find the number of rocks. It took me about 5 minutes to realize I was supposed to be scrolling because I just kept hitting the rocks.
Right. No. And I have to tell you, I think the whole world understands how to use a remote control on a TV. Remember that? Of course, cell phones now can become remote controls from TVs. My mom was a master at using her remote control on a TV. She could not use a smartphone. She was like, the screen is too small. There's no buttons. I like my buttons. And, she would probably not even have a cell phone, except she got a flip phone that allowed her to have some numbers put in for frequently called numbers. And she had like the 10 people that she called all programmed in, by the person who sold her the phone. And she was happy as a clam. Yeah. Because she knew who, and she memorized the 10 numbers, like one is for X, two is for Y, three is for Z. And, I have to say, she looked smartphone, she said, forget it. I want one button. I just want a simple way to do it. And we're getting more and more complicated. There's no way she would be able to deal with all this security. There's just no way.
No, it's crazy. Well, I think that, the thing is, I think it's well-intentioned, but it's becoming complicated. Okay.
Well, and then you compare what our Defense Department does in being on what is a third party service. Signal is not a governmental communication system. I always thought when the government communicates, they have all this special set of protocols and key passwords, and you have to have the code, like a 007 film. And these guys are using Signal, which is just a little bit like WhatsApp in terms of availability to anyone. And you have to wonder, they end up with a reporter coming on the phone. And of course, the reporter is just gleeful because he's got a great story to tell. Yeah. And it's funny because then they paint him black. They've been trying to paint him black. Like, you shouldn't have been on there. And, oddly, the law is in the direction to say, if you know that you're in a confidential room of somebody else's room, you really are, particularly if you're a lawyer, you're supposed to exit. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to say, I'm in the wrong room, wrong time. You're not supposed to eavesdrop. You're just not supposed to do it. And this guy was like, you let me in. It's newsworthy. I'm going to publish everything. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up trying to prosecute him on some theory that he should have a higher set of ethics. I don't know. And it's an interesting question, right?
Yeah, it is. I think Mr. Goldberg handled it pretty well. One is, I think he thought he was being scammed right away. Okay. Because, it was so outrageous that he would be in the room on this topic with this degree of information with these people. That's why.
Right. This is an actual war plan in progress pertaining to a bombing sequence of some sort. I haven't read all the text messages that he's now published on, I think it's The Atlantic or Politico or somewhere. But, it's like real live action. This is like real stuff. This is not some future 50 years from now, we might be in a war with China and hypothetically, how would it play out like a video game? It's not that. It's a real live discussion. And you were in the service and you were at the level of colonel, if I'm remembering your title.
Right.
I mean, is there any question but that the protocol was broken here and this is not the way you run an airline? I mean, it's not the way you run a government, right?
No, there's dysfunction on four levels here. One is, okay, that they're using a basically supposedly a secured cap to secured app in order to transmit communication within a group, okay, about right. what is an impending military operation. Okay. I mean, so right. that, you know, the dysfunctionality of that is obscene. Second is they don't know who's on the communication link. Okay. They're not vetting that on an ongoing basis too. Third is that they are sharing classified information. Okay. Whether it's attack plans or target plans, which most appropriately should only be communicated in what's called a SCIF, which is basically a way to communicate knowing that you are protected. Okay. Right. And right. the fourth, which is the part that's really got people's attention here, anybody wear a uniform and or anybody who's had a security clearance and or most people who just think, geez, with all of the hacking going on, don't you think they would be more careful? Realize that the problem that they had here could have cost lives. Let me play a hypothetical for you, Jack. Right. Goldberg, Mr. Goldberg, okay, right. gets this information. And there's already forces deployed in theater for the attack. What happened if he published right now?
Right.
He
right.
would have put those people at risk.
Right.
So the man right. did the right thing. Regardless of whether or not he thought it was disinformation flowing at him to trap him,
right?
He did the right thing. He essentially said, "I've got no options here. I can't do anything because if right. I acknowledge this, I'm embarrassed if it's disinformation, or alternatively, I could put people at risk if this is serious." So he did the right thing, right. and he sat on all of the information. I think that they're doing the right thing right now when they published the article on Monday, which I did read, mm-hmm. that, you know, he protected the what we would call classified information and classified identities of the players until they started saying, one, it wasn't classified. Two, you know, I think he was referred to as a sleaze bag. And third right, is right. that they tried to say that the information was invented, none of which is true.
Right. Okay. So it suggests that they should have just owned up, or it says to me, they should have just owned up to the error and explained how it happened as opposed to making him the villain, and maybe said something like, hey, somewhere in this, he should have seen some legend that, of course, lawyers use all the time with attorney-client communications at the beginning of everything they say. This is an attorney-client meeting and no one who shouldn't be here shouldn't be here. And if anyone is here that shouldn't be here, please exit immediately. Lawyers do that as a way to proactively say, hey, you passed the no trespassing sign. And then it looks more willful on the part of the participant that stays in. I don't think they even did that. I don't think they have that kind of legend that they put on the screen, you know, the way the FBI says, hey, this is copyrighted material and you better not copy it because it's a federal crime and so on. That kind of big legend that goes up in front of films. They don't even do that, which is kind of weird to me.
In the past, I've used the same app. Okay. It's like you're using WhatsApp. That's about as the extent of it. You know, it's interesting, Dad, because it's hearkening back to discussions you and I have had about the research discussion partners did becoming out of COVID, and where the research was taking us was, if you survived the pandemic, what do you want to see future leaders do? Empathy, transparency, accountability, and collaboration. Okay. Transparency, that they made a mistake, and accountability for the mistake they just made, gone.
Right.
The same research that was extended in terms of reprehensible behaviors. Okay. Hypocrisy, bias, intolerance, aggression, expediency, all of those are in play here. You know, dudes, you screwed up, own up, and somebody's ass should get fired. If not, if they would do the honorable thing, they would all resign.
Well, because all resigned is quite a number of people in the chain, right? I mean, it can go all the way up to Vance, right?
If this is the way they're going to behave, I don't think they would be missed because they put people at risk.
So with that, let's just say that Trump actually followed everything you just said about the latest research and really good ethics. And he said, you know what? This is just too risky. These guys are clowns. I'm not running a circus. You're all fired, including the vice president. I don't know if he can actually fire.
I guess
he could ask for the resignation of the vice president. Right. But basically, he could probably come out of this with some additional points saying, I don't deal with incompetence because he fired a lot of people in his life, in his businesses, and he fired a lot of people on TV for that apprentice show. Yeah. And he was the guy that says you're fired. So it wouldn't be hard for him to do it. But I think he's taking the opposite view and he's blaming the technology. He's not blaming any of the people.
Yeah. History is replete with people who made mistakes and then try to cover it up. Look at President Nixon.
Okay. Right. Right.
Who didn't know anything about the Watergate break-in for quite some time. If he had just said, well, that was stupid, you're all fired, he wouldn't have had to resign.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I think the thing that's agitating about this is, and you know, there's a whole community of people that I'm associated with who've either have worn the uniform or civilian contractors who work with the military. We're losing sight of the fact that people could really have gotten hurt. Okay. Now we're dealing with the blame game, which is hypocrisy in the extreme. And third is we're not focusing on the real problem here, which is why would anybody trust us with their intelligence?
Right. Overseas countries are going to be like, you know what? You guys are crazy. We're not going to give you any of this data. We can't trust you, right?
Well, essentially what happens is they will revert to if I was advising them, what the way I would be reverting to it is we can call you a friend, but we can't call you an ally. And by we can't call you an ally, we can no longer share.
Right.
Okay. And the world is right now, all you have to do is, you know, log on or pick up a newspaper and it's getting quite dynamic. I think that the thing that we have been focusing on is as a firm, this year is this concept that you and I have discussed, which is the predicate. Okay. And what we're finding is that leaders know that there's chaos. They're frankly worried about the cruelty associated with the chaos. And they're definitely worried about the lack of transparency. You see it in the financial markets. I know we're going to get a whole new set of numbers. We're going to keep score about what's going on in our economy. That's out there. We're threatening the judiciary, going right down to the law firms, which is something that you understand. Okay,
I can't believe that he's decided to do this campaign. I think he's got five or six law firms in his crosshairs, and all these big law firms are worried. And of course, the fact that one or two have already folded is not a good sign. I mean, we should have all been, all the big law firms, and really all the lawyers should have been united, whether you're a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal or anything in between. We should have all been united that the rule of law needs to be defended. And if advocacy is going to be crushed, then it's for the judges to decide that it should be crushed, not that it's going to get crushed by the president.
You know, it's an amazing thing. This is easy for me to say, not being a lawyer, but being the son of a lawyer and knowing the temper of my father, he basically would have said, bring it on, punk.
Right.
Okay, so, but at the same time, what I'm looking at right now, you know, studying leadership, looking at the commercial clients that we have and the NGO clients that we have, they're basically worried. And they know that their associates, their employees are looking to them to fill the vacuum. Okay, how are we going to behave? And they're looking to do the leadership resets that you and I have talked about in previous podcasts. And the concept that we've been focusing on, the predicate, and the best example that I can give you is the scene from the movie Taken, where Liam Neeson's on the phone with a kidnapper who's basically got control of his daughter and is saying, I possess certain skills. If you release her now, I won't pursue you. But if you don't, I will find you and I will kill you.
Right.
General Austin, when Putin was talking about throwing tactical nukes at Ukraine, when the early stages of the war, it wasn't going, calls his counterpart, this is in the Woodward book, mm-hmm. saying, you know, don't do this anymore. You know you're not going to do it. You've worried the world. His counterpart says, I don't like being threatened. And apparently he says words to the effect, sir, I am the leader of the largest military in the history of the world. Okay. And what we're looking at right now is, based on our research, is the people who are working for companies and frankly working for government agencies. I'm very fascinated by the new book by Michael Lewis that basically talks about how committed and trained these folks are. And we see it on a daily basis, not just in the military, is essentially they're looking for the leaders, you know, to gut check and step up and start doing the right thing. Because frankly, if they break trust with their employees, then, you know, frankly, they're diminished. They may, people may continue to work for them, but nobody's going to believe them. Trust will be broken.
Well, it seems like we're there. I mean, it seems like we have the military probably losing a lot of trust itself in the way in which the government, meaning the senior leaders, Trump, right. Vance, Hesburgh, and the rest are acting. I've got to believe this is probably the biggest issue that the military has right now, whether they could trust anything that these people end up doing, right?
Well, I think that, you know, I certainly can't speak for the Joint Chiefs, and I can't speak for the senior officers. I can only speak as somebody who was inside and now outside. But I would just basically say, talking to commercial leaders about how they're feeling about the military at the moment, they're saying, I'm glad I'm not working there.
Right. That's a pretty bad statement to hear.
It's not a good one. It's not a good one. Or the people that I'm talking to who have served, okay, and I'm not talking to anybody on active duty, I'm trying to avoid that. But with the people that I'm talking about who have served, basically saying, I'm glad I'm no longer there. Now, these are people who took their job very seriously. There's two quotes that have been rumbling around since this confusion started, really during the campaign, and has just only crystallized subsequent. And the first one is the Confucius quote that essentially says, if your whole reason for being is punishment or retribution, dig two graves.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
Because eventually, dude, you're going to hit the end of that runway. And the one that's really in play here, though, is a quote from a book by an author, Jim Collins. His most recent book that I recall is his book called Good to Great. And his very first principle in there is first get the right people on the bus.
Right.
Okay. Now, how would you like to be on the same bus with these people over the weekend talking about an attack plan on an unsecured application with a member of the press who they all vilify listening
in?
Right. And there's no good news in that sentence.
Right.
You know, and then to turn around and blame him for being on the phone or being on the app, that's the height of hypocrisy. And people are laughing at us. People are laughing at us.
So do you think there's any remedy that, in theory, if you were advising Trump and Vance and the rest of the group, remedy at this point, or you think it's gone? Basically, they lost the opportunity to repair, and now they're really digging this sort of the second grave at this point.
Something you said earlier. What would people think if Trump basically said, you know, as national security goes, maybe I made a mistake. I got to start all over and start deploying people who like know what they're doing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If he did that, maybe. Okay.
Yep.
Maybe. Yep. If he doesn't do that, it's only a matter of time before we have another FUBAR.
So the book I think you're referring to that I saw and I haven't purchased it yet is the Michael Lewis, Who is Government?
That's
is that
one.
The new book that you came out with, which is just sort of like talking about the career people in government to take the job seriously and really look to the leaders as, hey, setting policy, but then the implementation is really done by people that really treat the job as a 30 to 40 year career, and they treat it seriously, and they want to do a good job, right? And they want to raise their kids and come through the ranks and make sure that stuff goes according to the way the rule of law operates, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of theory.
There's another book coming out by actually a former client. His name is Sean West. It's called Unruly.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that recently too. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Sean very well. Okay. And it's a great book. But both of the books, and I don't want to get in defense of the civil service or the people there, or shortcut the lessons learned in Sean's book. The reality is most people get up in the morning wanting to do a good job, regardless of who they work for. And to assume—
That's the theory for everything. I mean, sales on eBay, the whole theory of selling on eBay is most people are honest, and if they say they have something that's at high quality and they're going to ship it for a certain price, they're actually going to do it, as opposed to the opposite.
How often have we seen videos of Amazon drivers going beyond and saving a baby or replanting a flag that's fallen down? They don't have to do that. They have a schedule. They have a schedule. So the assumption that we have hundreds of thousands of people who are taking advantage of us is counterintuitive, not logical. And the way they're being treated is, frankly, really unacceptable. One of the blogs we wrote recently was the memo that came out from the Doge folks on of the Friday night about write a memo by Tuesday outlining the top five things that you did to justify your job, and if you don't provide it by Tuesday, you're automatically fired. Okay.
Right.
Now the courts jumped in front of that, but in the meantime, put yourself in the position of those people who would survive that, and then put yourself in the position of those leaders that have to still fulfill the mission critical role for their departments. We wrote this blog, okay, and there was a 1983 movie that I had remembered seeing with my kids, where Robin Williams drove to his office one day and he was fired by a parrot. Okay.
Fired by post-it note.
Fired by a parrot. I think it was called Survivor. And he's fired by a parrot. And I was thinking, based on where we're going, I think I'd prefer the parrot. at least the parrot would be, you couldn't blame the parrot, but you can blame the way that we're going about this. There's no question that there needs to be restructuring. There's no question there needs to be waste. But, the chaotic way and the cruel way that this is being approached, okay, is one of the reasons that people who voted for this administration are basically saying, what in the hell are you thinking? And we go right back to the reason that we reach out to each other today, Jack, is this situation with the Signal app, with a military exercise, regardless of the wisdom of the purpose of the attack, frankly, really could have cost people to get injured or even worse. That's just unacceptable as a citizen of the United States, regardless of who you voted for.
Right.
And I
totally agree.
To interrupt you is the leader of a group of people that are trying to support C-suite leaders in terms of working with their companies. This is a great lesson learned, because not only what happened, how it happened, but the response to what happened. Okay. I mean, there'll be case studies taught in the business schools about this probably by September.
Absolutely. Okay. And you know what? It says to me that you've got a new idea there. You've got a kernel for a new idea, which is each instance in which this type of leadership lapse, I guess is what I would call it, or leadership failure or leadership defect or leadership recklessness, whatever you label you want to put on it, you could provide an illustration. And it probably almost would be like a daily thing, because it would be not only government, but the stuff that happens in corporate America, where certain decisions are made, and they're made sometimes very stupidly. And only years later does it come out, you know, does it finally come out? And then all of a sudden the jury ends up hearing a whistleblower and some sort of huge multi-billion dollar punitive damages award gets entered. And that's that's doesn't really end up affecting the individual executive, because they tend to be indemnified. I mean, there's a lot of stuff wrong in corporate America that the individual corporate leaders can basically walk. They can cause, you know, collapse of a financial system by over-leveraging the world. And then they walk and the various banks fail. I mean, it's an amazing thing that there isn't that sort of accountability that used to exist at some level when businesses were more like partnerships and there was joint and several liability of all the partners if they weren't managing the acts and omissions of their other partner. And, you know, it's an interesting problem when you have to balance that between accountability and this idea of limited liability. But most executives are completely indemnified. And, of course, the president has a broad presidential immunity. Of course, he said he knew nothing about it. I'm guessing he probably didn't. But Vance was there, and he's the vice president, and he's a lawyer, and he's had training. So, you know, it seems to me that he could have done the right thing and said, hey, guys, we just have to fess up. We screwed up. And it really made sense to fix this and to repair it and to admit it. Right.
Okay. Three of the people, I don't know exactly who was on this. Okay. Three of the people were in the military: Vance, Walz, and Hegwith. All three of them were in the military. I believe Tracy Gabbard was as well.
Right.
But the same time, put yourself in the position of the people you just sent into theater. Come on.
Right.
Own up to it. You screwed up.
Right.
You want to impress me, raise your hand and say, Jesus, what a stupid thing to do. That'll never happen again. Don't blame Goldberg.
Right.
He didn't ask to go to this party.
Well, Tom, you're right on point. I'm glad we could do this on a moment's notice. And I know you've been traveling, but how would people reach you and your firm if they have leadership issues that they want to bring you in as a consultant, because you're exceptional at what you do?
They could reach out. I'll just put the email out there. It's tcasey@dpcadvisors.com.
Right. So Discussion Partners has been around for a while, and you do great work for a lot of clients, and you do these pro bono surveys, and your latest blog has the survey, which I found quite interesting. And I think that's just extremely valuable data to my way of thinking. For anyone that wants to study leadership, that data is really valuable. So hopefully that idea of some white papers being done on how some of the stuff that you have discovered and compiled actually should eventually make its way into good ethical practices, even within government, and certainly even within the military. Hopefully we'll see some of that stuff happen over the next 10 years or so. We'll see. Hopefully not the opposite.
Hopefully we can see it faster, but I want to self-confess here in the interest of irony, Jack.
Yes. Yes.
We all make mistakes with this social media stuff.
Right.
And I'm in Peru. I'm here for a couple of weeks, and based on the research we were doing and the breaking news, we felt the need to push this research out, particularly given a profile of the people we had interviewed, ex-military, in the C-suite population. And I'm sitting in a coffee shop here on my iPad pushing this stuff out, and I misspell Peru. Okay. So, you know, we're all guilty, but I'm raising my hand, man. I don't know how to spell.
That's okay. There's a lot of AI.
If I could be the living example of just raise your hand and say, I screwed up, I'm not going to do that again.
Right.
I think we'd all be a little happier and a little bit more faith in the institution.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, thanks for coming on short notice. We'll get this out very quickly. I'll send you the link. And you take care and have safe travels from South America.
You take care, sir. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Tune in next time on The Valley Current.